All right, welcome back. Here we are. We're talking about Hoi An, Vietnam, one of the most beautiful cities of the world.
It really is. UNESCO World Heritage Site, the old town there, is stunningly beautiful. It's got old architecture throughout its history. It was a major trading port for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's got Chinese houses. It's got, of course, the French colonial buildings. It's got Vietnamese traditional tube houses. And everywhere you go in the old quarter, everything is just maintained and kept in that pristine condition that it's always been in. Now, I say pristine, but it definitely has a patina, however you say
it. Yeah, it's a little, it gives that dilapidated, lived-in, very Vietnamese feel. But it's beautiful. It's, you know, it's got that iconic yellow color
right.
of all the houses that are built during, I guess it was the French colonial period.
Or the old wooden houses from the Chinese merchants that have been maintained beautifully. Deep, dark, lush wood inside and out.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
It was gorgeous. And now this was the second time we had been to Hoi An. We had been to Hoi An quite a few years ago.
Long time ago.
And during that time, it was much quieter. The world hadn't really discovered it yet. I remember one of my favorite things was we had a little cafe where we were getting 5 cent beers. This is a while ago though. It's not that much more expensive now, but it's not 5 cents. And we were sitting right across from the Pink Dragon Bridge, which we were so excited to go back and see again. However,
The Japanese bridge is covered in scaffolding for probably a couple of years while it gets renovated.
Luckily, we'd seen it before. We've been there and we took our memories with us.
Well, I have to say, I must have had too many of those 5 cent beers because I don't remember that part very well. But I do remember the bridge.
Well, now you can still walk through it. So there's, you know, which is still pretty cool, but it's not quite the same as, you know, when it's not scaffolded. But, you know, that's a necessary evil. They have to keep it maintained.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we can't really complain too much.
And they've done a pretty good job because they've put, that scaffolding is there. And you know it's going to be there for a while. But they have put really good murals that show you what it looks like.
What it's supposed to look like.
What it's going to look like when they're done renovating it. So you still get an idea of it. And like you said, you can walk through the bridge and you can buy a ticket and go into the pagoda and the other parts of the bridge. So that part's still open.
Yeah. But really going down in downtown Hoi An, there's so many beautiful buildings and so many cafes and so many temples that you're not going to run out of things to do anyway. One of the things we discovered, and I don't know that we really knew about it before we went, was they have all these beautiful old homes that they've either turned into museums, or sometimes they have a theme, or maybe it's just the noble's house the way it was still today. And you can buy a ticket for a number of those for a nominal fee. I don't know if it was like $5 each or something like that.
And I wanted to say you get entry into 7 of them. And there's more than 7.
And so there's pick plenty. And choose,
or you can, of course, buy another ticket. And you buy those tickets as you're walking into the old town. There's a couple of places you'll see them.
You'll see it.
And I think you can also buy them if you go to one of those houses.
Yes, and then they'll sell you the book, and that was pretty neat. And the thing is, you're walking around anyway, so it's kind of neat to be able to go into some of the older ones. But then again, you don't have to, because a lot of those buildings are now cafes or stores or tea houses.
One of our favorites was the tea house.
Oh my goodness, this place was amazing. If you heard our podcast about Vietnam World Heritage Sites with coffee pairings, then you may already know what we're talking about. But we're always on the lookout for good coffees and teas. I drink coffee. Jim drinks tea. So
I like a good coffee, too. But more often than not, I'm going to go with the tea first. Although I will say in Vietnam, I think it was the other way around.
Yeah,
more often than not, I would go for a coffee. Because the thing we discovered in Vietnam pretty quickly was iced coffee.
Iced coffee is so good.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this little coffee tea house It's really a tea house. I think it's called a tea house.
Yes.
What it is it's run by people who are deaf.
That's right.
And the whole business is in support of the deaf community. And you walk in and there's these signs about being quiet and how to order. You have to write it on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so nice. And it's such a good message. And it's so serene and so tranquil. I mean, I could have sat there if we didn't have an agenda.
For hours.
I could have easily sat there for hours. And I, looking around, there was definitely a few people that had their books out.
Yeah.
Somebody was writing in their journal. And they were just really relaxing. Because Hoi An, even though it's kind of a small city in that area especially, there's still, it's chaotic. There's people. There's still motorbikes. There's still all that other stuff that you normally contend with. But it is amazing to me that you can go into one of those courtyards and you can feel
a little bit of peace and serenity and solitude in that area if you wanted it, which was really nice. You don't find that in many places in Vietnam.
Yeah, it's hard to get away from some of that noise.
The chaos.
But
that's a good way to do it. And there's a couple of coffee houses that have done the same thing. They've taken the old merchant houses and converted them. One of the restaurants, we had one of the best pizzas, actually. Not that we're always looking for pizza, but that's
what they have there. But we eat a lot of local food, so it was okay to have pizza that
Morning. Of course. And that was in a beautiful old restored mansion.
It was.
So just in the old quarter, just, you know, exploring and shopping and getting a coffee and getting something to eat, you're going to experience the architecture, the artistry, everything about it. Hoi An, of course, is in central Vietnam. I mean, it's like maybe dead center between the north and the south. And it's not hard to get to. It doesn't have its own train station. It doesn't have an airport. But Da Nang is only like a 25-minute ride away. So you can fly into Da Nang or take the train into Da Nang.
And in fact, when you do go into the train in Da Nang, there's all these taxis waiting for you and crabs waiting for you. And the first thing they ask you is, Hoi An, you're going to Hoi An?
Yes.
So that's what they expect you to do.
Yeah.
So it's really simple.
Yeah. And you can do the taxi, but you'll also find little mini buses and buses and tours that will take you for cheaper than the taxi. We trained into Da Nang. We were coming from the north and we just used our Grab app and got a Grab car to take us in. I think it cost about $12 for the two of us and took about 25 minutes. And it took us pretty much right to our hotel where we checked in near the old quarter and we're ready to get started on the day. So super easy. Now, I think you could probably get in for about $1 on one of the shuttle buses, or a local bus, but it would take a lot longer. And it certainly is not going to take you to your hotel.
Well, and it's just kind of nice to have your own, you know, air-conditioned car when it's that cheap. Yeah. Why not? We got to Hoi An pretty much right in the, I would say, a little bit later afternoon because we had been on the train. And we got into our hotel, which was really, really nice. It was a cute little hotel. It didn't have an elevator. Didn't need an elevator.
No.
But it did have an elevator for the luggage, kind of like a dumbwaiter, I guess. But that's what they used it for, was to get the luggage upstairs.
Which was convenient.
It had a nice little breakfast. It was a cute little hotel, and it was right easy walking distance for everything. So that's always important, isn't it? And so we got there in the afternoon, and of course, the first thing we want to do is go out and start exploring, because Hoi An is just, that's what you do there.
Yeah.
Like, there are things to do.
You can explore and go through the merchant houses and the museums, which we did. You can take a boat ride on the main canal there in the middle of the old quarter at night with the lanterns. That's
you can take one during the day, the Perfume River cruise that goes up and down. There's plenty to do. But we just wanted to wander. And of course, we wanted to go and get banh mi because banh mi there is really famous, the banh mi queen. And it was good.
Yeah.
And then we had, of course, lots of things planned for the next couple of days. And it was a lot of fun. But walking through at night, we saw the cafes. There were lanterns everywhere. The temples were lit up. It was magical.
Beautiful.
It was magical. It was magical. It wasn't your run-of-the-mill place to walk around. It was just, I'm going to say evening, nighttime in Hoi An is one of my favorite things about Vietnam.
It's cooling off a little bit. It's still hot. It's still warm, but the humidity has dropped.
Beating on you anyway.
Yeah, and the sun's not beating on you. And you're actually right near the ocean. So you do get a little bit more cooler than in other parts of the country. Really comfortable. And yeah, you can just enjoy walking. And the beauty of it is stunning. It's in your face.
It's really beautiful.
So we did have banh mi twice. We had banh mi queen and we had banh mi fuong, which was the one that Anthony Bourdain made famous.
It's funny because we had told the hotelier that we were there. One of the reasons was to go to and have banh mi. And he goes, oh, banh mi queen. That is the best one. That's hands down the best one. And we're like, wait, what?
What?
I mean, we'd heard about it, but the Anthony Bourdain one is the one that everybody goes to, right?
Of course.
So we went to banh mi queen first, and it was delicious.
It was.
He was absolutely right. It was a good little experience. We got our little banh mi, and we were happy to walk around and just eat and have a good time. As we were walking through town, we went to, it started to get evening time, so you could see them lighting the little votive candles that are going to floating down the river. We went to the night market, which a night market is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you're in Singapore, Malaysia, Tokyo, I don't care where you are. If you're going to a night market, it's pretty much the same thing.
It's pretty much the same. Now, the stuffings are different.
The food's different, but the feeling, the atmosphere is all the same.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, I love a night market.
It's fun. It's chaotic. There's things going on all around you. There is the most interesting food that you're going to find anywhere. And because there's so many people going at the same time, too, that that even though it may not be like something you would normally eat, like a tarantula on a stick or something, you know that other people are eating it and buying it, so at least it's going to be fresh.
And that is the key. Whenever you're at a outdoor street food type of place, I think the key is to make sure you look for the lines.
Look for the place with lines.
First of all, the locals and the people who are lining up that are local, they know the good ones to eat at. So just follow them.
That's right.
And if one's deserted, it depends on the time of day. If there's not that many people around, maybe wait another 15 or 20 minutes or whatever and see what happens. But always go to the crowded places. Yeah. Even if you have to wait a few minutes, the kind of good thing about waiting a few minutes is then you kind of know what to order too, because you see what they've gotten. And yeah, it makes it easier to point and gesture at what you need.
Yeah. So other things that you should eat while you are in Hoi An. Of course, banh mi, but I mean, you can get banh mi all over.
You can.
And it's going to be pretty good. I don't think I had a bad banh mi anywhere in Vietnam.
No.
Can you think? No.
No, so, that's a pretty...
It's going to be good.
It's good no matter where you are. But the ones in Hoi An were quite delicious.
The other one that you need to do is the white rose dumpling. And you can buy those at the market. You can find them sold in other restaurants. But really, you want to go to the white rose dumpling restaurant.
Yes, you do. And you want to go mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
Because they're making all the dumplings. Was there 20 women?
There's 20 women sitting around two very large round tables with Lazy Susans in the middle with all the ingredients. And they're just spinning, grabbing. And I mean, they were pumping out these dumplings.
Well, they were talking the whole time. So they're having their gossip hour. But at the same time,
there was a TV going on in the corner.
Oh, my goodness. It was a show. Yeah. It wasn't meant to be a show.
No. But it was.
And we were probably, I think there was maybe three tables that were occupied, us and two others. And I mean, you go there and you have the dumplings, that's what you do, and some tea. And it was delicious. But I don't know how we got so lucky, but just watching them make it was just...
It was fun.
It was pretty awe-inspiring, actually.
Yeah.
You know, they've probably made thousands of them.
They've made millions by the time they've turned 40, I'm sure. Yeah, and they're really good. And... I mean, so a white rose dumpling is kind of what it sounds like. It's that translucent white rice paper that they've put in a shrimp paste filling and, of course, a secret recipe, so you don't really know exactly what's in it. But
and then it looks like a rose.
Bean and stuff like that. Yeah, and then they kind of fold it up and twist it, and it comes out looking kind of like a rose. And then they serve that with crispy fried shallots on top. You dip it in a sweet fish sauce. Oh,
so good.
Wow.
So good. We had our mid-afternoon, like I said, because we were in the right area at the right time. And why not? I mean, I could eat dumplings 24/7. So
yep.
That didn't hurt my feelings at all. And we went to dinner. Don't worry. We
did. Yeah. Another thing you need to have there is the cao lao.
Which, again, we talked to the hotelier and he told us where to go. And, you know, that is something that is really important. So we knew going into Hoi An that we needed to try cao lao. We had looked at what are the local dishes. But we didn't really know where to go. And the thing about dishes, especially in Vietnam and places like that, they're restaurants, but they're not really what you expect from a restaurant. Right. They're this outdoor space with metal tables. This one had real chairs, or did it have plastic chairs?
I'm sure there were plastic chairs.
I mean, they're almost always plastic
chairs. Metal tables, but plastic chairs.
It was packed because it is the number one place to get cao lao. And we would not have known this. We only knew this because we, chat with our hoteliers and our concierges and actually anybody we can come across because food is so important to us that we're always bringing it up. And then we find out the best places to go. And we're so glad we did. Yeah. Again, it's almost like a show. It's not meant to be. It's the way it is.
But because there's so many people there, and a little bit more about the restaurants. A restaurant in Vietnam, like you said, can range anywhere from a woman on the side of the street cooking food over a small little
brazier,
and you're eating on little plastic stools to, air-conditioned, fully inside, beautiful decor.
White tablecloth,
linen, wine, everything like that. And the range goes from that to that and anything you can imagine and things you can't imagine in between. But the most typical is that like an open storefront, no windows. I think at night they probably just pull down a metal grate. So it's open to the street.
Yeah.
You can walk in. They specialize in one thing
and one thing only.
If there are variations of it, then they'll have those variations.
Sure.
Like for cao lao, I think maybe you could choose different meats to put in it. But they served cao lao.
Yeah. So if you go in and you say, we want two, they're going to make it and you're going to be happy. That's all we know. Now, this place was really funny because they were so packed and the tables were a little bit larger. And so a whole family came in. They must have had 10 kids. No, I don't think it was 10, but maybe 4 kids with them.
Probably 10 in the whole group, I think.
Yeah, maybe 10 in the whole group. Anyway, so they end up sitting the kids with us. So here's Jim and me with these Vietnamese kids. Yeah, at the kids' table. And I'm sure they were getting a kick out of us because we have no idea how to eat it or what to do. We just followed their lead, actually. But it was delicious. It was really good. It was nice little community feel. Everybody was talking to everybody. I mean, they included us, even though we're, 2 foreigners just in the midst of them. It was fun. It was really fun.
And so cao lao is a rice noodle soup type thing.
One of many in Vietnam.
Yeah, but this particular noodles are only made this way in Hoi An.
In central Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
But they're...
What I read was in Hoi An, there is a specific well where the water has to come from that well to make it a
true cao lao
noodle.
Okay. But the actual noodle that they make is similar to other ones. And what's really interesting about it is a lot of their noodles, of course, they're cutting up into little strips like the vermicelli and that type of thing.
Right.
But the cao lao they make and it's very large. And a lot of times they're just folding it. They do cut it as well, but they're folding it to make the various dumplings.
So it's got kind of a unique texture to it, which is really pleasant. And of course, I mean, any soup broth in Vietnam, once you've added fish sauce and you've added all the greens and the peppers, and it's going to be amazing.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. And it was. Yeah. So that was a great experience.
So as you can see, we wandered around the town and we go to this cafe and we wandered around the town and we went into this little old noble's house and we wandered around town and we took, I think I took more pictures in Hoi An than I did of any other place in Vietnam. It's just that photogenic and that beautiful. If you're an Instagrammer or you like that type of photo, I mean, it's a given. You got to go to Hoi An.
Yeah. We didn't do it this time, but the first time we went, we did. And a lot of people still do. Because it was an old trade port, it was actually on the Silk Route. Mm-hmm. And so it's always had this history of textile and
clothing. It's a huge thing.
So a lot of people will go to Hoi An to have suits or dresses, things like that made.
And it, you can get caught up in it. Oh, yeah. There's plenty of tailors there, and they're going to tailor it to whatever you want. Many, many different items, from shirts to dresses to skirts to wool coats. I got a wool coat the last time I was there.
Yeah.
You really can get anything you want, and they will get it done in whatever your time frame is, usually about 24 to 48 hours. And then they even fit, somehow get you in there for a fitting and fix it. And I mean, they do the whole thing. Like we said, we didn't do that this time because we did it last time. And I mean,
yeah, we didn't need to.
Well,
we're traveling.
The way we travel is we don't have room for it
anymore. We don't have room for it. But you can definitely do that. And a lot of people do.
And it's fun.
Tailors all through the old quarter. Just ask around, find someone who had a good experience, and you'll find a good one.
Another thing that you have to do, I don't care if you're 2 years old to 99 years old, this is the most kiddish, fun,
yeah,
exciting, whimsical thing to do throughout the country. And that is take a ride on the basket boats, or they call them the coconut boats or the bamboo boats, whatever you want to call them. They're a round woven boat.
Yeah, bamboo fishing boat that's has traditionally been used and is still used throughout Vietnam by the fishermen. But you're not going out to go fishing specifically. When you go on one of these basket boat rides, it has turned into, I think, almost a major sport. I mean, you are out there. You're not the one with the sport going on.
It's a spectacle. It's a spectacle. I would call it more of a spectacle than a sport.
It turned into a real spectacle. You get in your little bamboo boat with a driver, and
a puller or paddler,
he rows you around, and you just enjoy the scenery. You're along the waterfront. You're going through a water coconut forest.
There's a fishing villages. There's fishing boats. There's
boats. It's beautiful. And then
there's lots of these boats. Yeah, I mean, this is,
you're not alone.
You're not alone doing the bamboo thing.
You know, when we first went, we did a bamboo boat.
We did.
And
that was way back before, again.
And that was
so long ago. Yeah, this was the time we did it the first time. It was this lady and her daughter, and they took us out, and they went to a fishing farm.
Fish farm out in the water.
And we went out there, and there was no show. We paddled out, we paddled back, we had a good time with them. I think we did do a couple of turns.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, it was, but that was way back in the day. Nowadays, it's a spectacle.
It's a spectacle.
And everybody and their brother is doing it. Everybody's laughing. It is just one of those. It's just fun.
We did crab fishing.
We did, we went crab fishing. I was a little worried about these little crabs that we caught, but no, we gave them back. We put them all back. So that was fun. It was just the act of doing it, which was fun.
And then you get out into the main water, and that's where
the show is. I don't know if it's main water, but it's more of a wider part of the tributary.
Because we are going through narrow passageways through the jungle, and then it does open up, and here's where the show is. And these guys have turned the basket boat rowing into an art form.
An acrobatic show.
Yeah. Yeah, that boat ride and the show that they put on.
Pretty was spectacular.
Incredible. I mean, you gotta do it.
Even when they give you the tip, when you give them a tip, that you have to put it, they put their oar out and you put the money on the oar and they pull it back in. It's just kind of cool.
It's really cute.
And they also had a fisherman that had the net fisher guy that was showing you. You know, you see those in all the photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was pretty cool too.
That was pretty cool. And it's pretty easy to do. You can book it online. We did it through Hang Coconut Basket Boat Rides.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it online. I mean, we were there at height of tourist season, and if you can just get a ride out there, which you're going to take a grab anyway.
Take a grab out.
Although I think if you book some places online, they'll go ahead and hire them for you already. You're going to get a grab out there, and then you just kind of walk down this one street. Any grab driver, I'm sure, is going to be able to know where to go. They might even know a specific one. And I don't think it matters where you go. Everybody goes on the same route.
It does. Well, and the only thing that matters really is on one side of the starting point on the water was where buses could get to. So large coaches were pulling up and they were dumping out 50 or 60 people, and they're all getting on boats, and they're a lot more jammed together. But where we went, it was a much smaller place.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, couples, small families coming one at a time, and we pretty much went out by ourselves. So we weren't in a big crowded group, which I think that is the best way to do it.
And the place that we went out of, they even have a little cafe. So we had a nice fresh pineapple when we got back.
And a coconut water, cold coconut, refreshing.
So anyway, I think it is touristy.
Yeah.
It is sort of, you know.
Kitschy,
right? But you got to do it. It was really, really fun.
You really do. The other thing we did was we made lanterns, traditional silk lanterns with Hoi An handicrafts. And that was a fun, like, 2 hours. A
couple of hours, yeah.
Yeah.
It was not that simple.
Oh, no.
I mean, they sit there and walk you through it and fix all your mistakes. Yeah. And they tear it apart sometimes, you know. And
put it back
some
together.
Of us and put it back together for you. But you get to pick out your fabric. You pick out the shape of the lantern you want to do.
Right.
You can do small ones or large ones. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. You don't build the structure, the metal wireframe structure. That's already built. So you're choosing, like you said, the style, the shape of the lantern you want. That's already made. But then once you've picked out your fabric, it's already cut into rectangles and you have to put it on. You glue it on, trim it. And before you know it, you've got a beautiful lantern.
Well, some of us, it took longer than others.
That's true.
I'm not a very handicrafty kind of girl, but it was fun. And there was, you know, there's other people in there. And we were talking to some Aussies and it was just a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun. I would recommend it.
So
I think it's so good to go and do things at places.
You need to have experiences.
That's what you remember more, I think, than if you just like see things.
Just wander around the old town. It's great. You do that for a few hours, a couple of different times a day, and you're going to have a great time. But if you can have some experiences, you're really going to enjoy it a lot more. There's more to do in the area. I wouldn't say Hoi An is a good base of operations.
No.
I would think Da Nang would be a better base of operations. You can get to Hoi An. You can get to Mai Son.
You can get to Ba Na Hills.
You can get to Ba Na Hills. You can go over the Hai Van Pass over to Hue. But there's a lot to do in that area as well.
Mm-hmm. And you want to go to Hue. That'll be another
different video. But definitely go to Hoi An. Experience the beauty, the architecture, the food, the sights and sounds. You're going to love it.
I think it's iconic Vietnam. And it even more so than Hanoi. So
yes,
go.
You definitely
enjoy.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of Streets and Eats. If you liked what you heard, please show us some love. Hit the like button and leave us a review. Maybe even subscribe so you don't miss any future podcasts. Also, we'd love it if you joined us on our Facebook private group, Streets and Eats, where we just have an ongoing conversation about all things travel. Ciao for now.